स्पाइस रेडियो रेडियो रूम जिम सुन रहे हैं हम गपशप का प्रोग्राम है हमारी घड़ियों में बाद दोपहर के 2:08 ओ माय गॉड हो चुके हैं अब से लेके 3 बजे तक आपका हमारा साथ रहेगा हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में जिसका नाम बड़े प्यार से हमने गपशप रखा है क्योंकि इसमें वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नजरों में अटकेंगी
खटकेंगी
और दिल से समझाएगी I definitely messed it up.
Close.
Okay, now out you go. और दिल में समाएंगी.
और दिल में समाएंगी.
There you go. That's Om Arora, whose voice you've just heard. Om is going to be our guest today. Om, most welcome in our program. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. So you can tighten that mic if you like. You know, there you go. आज के हमारे इस प्रोग्राम में मौसम के बारे में बात करें तो इट्स वेरी नाइस राइट नाउ बट एज ऑफ टुमारो देयर इज गोइंग टू बी टोरेंशियल रेन्स बट डिड यू गाइस टॉक अबाउट इट यस्टरडे दैट नेक्स्ट वीकेंड इज गोइंग टू बी 17 एंड 18 डिग्रीज
वी डिड नॉट टॉक अबाउट
दैट आई डिडंट इवन नो
दैट या
देयर यू गो
Finally, a good day. Oh, is it going to be on the weekend specifically?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, but you know what? We live in Vancouver. We can't promise anything because...
I am just going to promise it.
Because last week on Friday, okay, flight said that there was going to be like a decent like rainy weekend, whatever. We had hail, we had snow, we had thunder, lightning, you name it. We had it and we did not know that was coming.
Talking about lightning, wasn't there a plane struck by lightning?
There was. I think it was an Air Canada plane.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
And wasn't it that the two seats that it hit happened to be those people canceled their flight, I think?
Yeah. No way.
No kidding.
I'm pretty sure the two seats that it was near the wing, and those two seats were empty, and they were booked, but I guess they canceled their flight.
Holy mackerel. That's called kismet.
Oh, yes.
Apparently,
oh, yes.
It's a 1 in a million chance of lightning hitting a plane.
And then hitting... 1 in a billion chance of hitting the place where those two people are not sitting.
Yeah. That's why when I hear those like stories of like that person who got struck by lightning like twice, I'm like, okay, twice you got struck by lightning? How bad is your luck?
Oh my gosh, yeah, true.
All right. So weather-wise, we are going to be okay. What is the big news apart from lightning?
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about weather because tonight and tomorrow, the Sea to Sky Highway is it's expected to have a lot of snow. So be careful. If you are planning to go up to Whistler, don't go. Last week, I think when we had the snowfall, there was a lot of snow that happened there. The traffic was like very far back. It was like 5 hours, I think we were talking about this to just get to Whistler. So
wow.
Don't go.
Yeah, and I know that I might be wrong about it, but normally they say you can't go to Whistler up until March 1st without snow tires.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I know it's after that, but still I would say be careful regarding, you know, if you don't have proper tires or if you don't feel like your car could make it through, don't take those risks.
Yeah, and some didn't, and they were in the ditches.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Yeah.
I can't hear Om properly. Om, can you?
Check. Mic check.
Yeah, why is your mic so low?
That's weird.
Okay. All right. Count till 10, please.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. It's fine.
Didn't need to make it more?
You just need you to count. That's all. So, weather-wise, we should be a little careful.
Yes.
Otherwise?
Otherwise, I think we have a lot of things, I think, that go on in the news. But one thing is that NATO has now accepted its 32nd member.
Sweden.
And Sweden?
Sweden.
Sweden is in the NATO.
Wow. Yeah. Well, why wasn't Sweden ever taken in earlier? Because it's a haven for all those people who stash their money somewhere.
That's Switzerland, I'm pretty sure.
That's Switzerland?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that was kind of holding Sweden back within this just last little while is Turkey and Hungary. They didn't want Sweden to be a part of it. But they cleared their way, so Sweden's in.
That's good. And there was another country that they wanted in, and there was a big, huge kerfuffle about that.
But that's most likely probably Ukraine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that hasn't joined yet.
Not at all, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know if they will, or if geopolitically that is probably a smart move for them.
From the people in the south, sad news for them, Nikki Haley got out of the presidential race, and I don't know who she has supported. But now that leaves Donald Trump as the clear
Republican
candidate.
So you're left with someone with extreme cognitive decline in Joe Biden and someone else who is pretty much a free mouth who doesn't say anything.
Something that I saw somewhere, right? It was like, why are we hiring all these old men
to be the presidents. Like, they're old. Like, even when Biden's doing his speeches, like, you can tell this poor guy is, like, not fully there sometimes. And that's okay. It happens to people. But why are they running countries? Why are we electing these people to run countries?
For sure. It's very, very simple. I mean, I think that Biden is for most part, doing a ghost presidency, and he's not actually making any of the movements. I think that Trump is on that same cognitive decline, but I think he will be actually making those decisions, which is going to be very scary. I think within the past few months, we've seen him mistakenly say that he's running against Obama so many times that he has literally no idea who he's even running against. But I think the scary part is a few years ago, Trump said, if I were to go into New York Times Square right now and shoot someone in the face, I wouldn't lose my support. And I think that stands true with anything else that's coming on, whether it's politically or not. His fan base will not dwindle no matter what he does. He has a lot of terrible things that I feel like he's committed in crimes-wise, but it has not changed his support.
It is so sad that majority of the people in America think like him. That's the sad part. I mean, he has his own opinions, which is fine. Yeah. Everybody has their own opinion, which is okay. But to see that majority of the people are like him, that is what is scary.
Yeah. And I understand the reason initially people are drawn to him is because, you know, someone like myself, I have very little trust in the overall institutions in the government. And Biden is clearly, and all the presidents we've had previously, clearly, you know, having these donors and sponsors that they're living up to. But Trump, having paid for himself, it was like he's saying whatever he wants. So he being anti-establishment, all these people like me who had little trust were like, may have been drawn to him. What people fail to understand is he's anti-establishment, but he's not for the people, he's for himself. I don't think he actually thought he was going to win the 2016 election. I thought it was a marketing plan. He happened to win because they put a really terrible person against him in Hillary Clinton. I also don't think she was very competent in that regard. And now you have...
No. She wasn't a terrible person. She was a woman. America would never have a woman. They would have a black president way before a woman could be a president. 100%
agree.
So she wasn't a bad person. She, if you look at her track record and her intelligence, is far better than anybody else.
I would disagree. I just think that she has so much history in terms of a lot of like insider trading, as well as a lot of unethical stuff that the Democratic Party has lived up to. And it's like the status quo that she has definitely supported. I almost think there needs to be a full overrun within the U.S. politics and even Canadian politics. Overall,
because it's not my country, and I am not aligned with that. I don't think I will comment on that, but I do think that the American politics is quite flawed.
Oh yeah,
and
for sure.
in its way of choosing who they are, who's going to be ruling the country, and it does look very prejudicial.
For sure.
You know, so I am not surprised. I don't think Hillary Clinton lost because she's a bad woman. I think she's lost because she's just a woman.
For sure.
Period.
For sure. I think that it's a soap opera and that all of the candidates and parties are all playing for corporate interests.
Imagine how many more people would be interested in politics if they made it like a reality TV show.
I feel like that would be terrible.
Why?
Because it's all, like, if you look at the House of Commons... Now, in Canada, at least, it is a reality TV show.
It is a
They yell insults at
each other. No, but you have to have the, like, off... Like, you have to get them out, have them sitting there and talking about their perspective in the situation.
For sure.
If they did that,
I
would be so interested in it instead of just seeing people yell at each other. You know, they take them to the side, they're talking in the room, they're cutting back and forth. Oh, my gosh.
I would agree with you that I think that if they change the way they present it to you,
that
could really be helpful.
Not shouting.
But the content itself, I feel like, is so far gone from realistically talking about what helps the citizens of Canada that would need to change as well.
Someone who wants to weigh in on whatever you both are talking about. So we've got line four. Is that what you want to do, caller?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I think Hillary Clinton was the... what they chose, a woman comes second, I think, and they chose who's the less evil.
Trump was less evil.
That was the answer from all my friends in America. When I asked them, they said we chose the less evil person. So they think Hillary Clinton would be worse president. The woman thing comes second. But the other thing is that, you know, these people... like a Western world always say, we are leader of this, we are leader of that. the whole nonsense, and call India and Bangladesh and third world countries this and that. But I think they are more open than these people are. We have a lady president, we have a lady prime minister and everything in both countries and all that. But here, none of the lady, I think Kim was only one lady president, prime minister of Canada for only a couple of weeks, I think, if I'm not wrong.
A couple of months. So,
yeah. So, I don't know. But they are telling that we are so forward, we are so, liberalized, this and that, the whole nonsense. But they can't even elect one woman prime minister or president yet.
True, Conrad. Thank you so very much for your thoughts. We're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back. And our topic today is very interesting. I think aap sab log iske baare mein zara gaur kijiyega. Hamari apni community mein iske baare mein hum baat nahi karte. And the topic is mortality.
Yes.
Ki, jab hum mortality ki baat karte hai, ki death kya hai?
Yeah.
Uske baare mein hum kaise sochte hai? Aur to ye topic un logon ke liye hai jo ki घबराते हैं या बात नहीं करना चाहते so listen to it and also participate in it. 604-280-1200 604-299-8863 are our telephone numbers. Spice Radio और Radio Ramjam गपशप का प्रोग्राम है. ओम अरोड़ा आज हमारे साथ हैं. ओम के साथ हम अलग अलग विषयों पे बात करते रहते हैं और उनके विषय जो विषय हैं जिन पर उनको इंटरेस्ट है वो भी बहुत ज़्यादा है. So, you know, last time when you were in studio, we were talking about your trip to India and how you felt about that.
Yeah.
And today we are talking about mortality. In your own words, what do you understand?
Mortality, in its very simplest way, is the fact that we die.
Hmm.
Or known as the fact that we have a limited lifespan, however you want to see it. And I think this fact is, you know, an underlying common denominator that exists within all living things.
Mm.
So I think personally, it is our mortality that gives our existence significance. Hamari maut hai jo cheez hamari zindagi ko actually value deti hai.
Maut hamari zindagi ko value deti hai.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Mm-hmm. I think that often in hamari culture mein that is aise cheeze baat nahi karo. Iske baare mein cheeze baat nahi karo. They're not good for you. Or you know, when the time comes, then we'll deal with it.
Mm.
And I think that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. As death is a natural thing, it's an important thing, and often after it has happened, those who are left with it may not know what to do if this conversations were never occurred.
Yeah, hamari apni community mein and kafi communities mein, sirf hamari apni community hi nahi hai jo kiske bare mein sochti hai. There are other communities as well which do not talk about ki maut hogi, uske baad kya hoga. There are some families that are very open to it.
Yeah.
And I think open rehna to a certain extent is good as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because jinko aap piche chhod ke ja rahe hain, as you just mentioned, they probably will know what's going on, what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what is in there for them. And I will relate my mom's story later on, which I have related many a times,
mm-hmm.
about her view on death. And it was ki aaj hum jab paida hue hain, to the end of paida hone ka is death. To marna to hai hi.
Yeah.
To hamare kehne pe to hum jaldi nahi mar jayenge ya late nahi marenge. Wo to maut to tabhi aayegi jab likhi hai.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So uske bare mein to talk about it openly and say this is what I would like to do once I am gone, I think that is very important.
Most definitely. I think that jab wo aap accept karte ho, to that is the only way that I feel like you can maybe properly think about it clearly.
Hmm. Why do you think people are so worried about talking about that?
There's obvious reasons. I think that you get scared, right? Hmm. So at the end of the day, my biggest fear up until I was 13, I used to claim was the dark.
Hmm.
But I know what it really was, and it was the unknown.
Hmm.
We as humans want to have control. Death we have no control over.
Mm.
We don't even know what's happening. So it's very easy for us with the unknown and with that to fear it, to have that anxiety over it.
Mm.
If you add into the fact that it takes away what we know our existence, like I'm relatively aware right now that I am alive. So that's one thing I'm certain of. If it takes that away, I'm going to feel very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually is what changed my perspective on it. Every day, everywhere growing up, I saw people looked at death as such a bad thing, such a bad thing. But I realized that no one truly knows what happens. Mm-hmm. So even if, yes, there's a possibility that could be a list of all these terrible things, it could be also all these great things. So to try and look at that unknown as anything could be good or bad allows you to then maybe look at what your life currently in existent needs and what you could do for when you pass.
So on that particular topic, when you have as a young man talked about it at home, what sort of reception do you receive?
Luckily, my family is relatively quite open. Mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a minute. So I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I was with my Nanu. We were sitting down and I asked him, I was like, Nanu, can I ask you a personal question? And I asked Nanu, where do you want to die? Where do you want to pass? You know, you grew up and lived your whole life in India and you moved here for staying with your family and it's easier for you to be, you know, taken care of. But is there a part of you that wants to pass in your home country of India? And he sat there and he thought about it and he gave the answer that he wants to pass where his children are. So he said, I don't care, India here. I hope to see all my children before I pass if they can be near me. During those times. And I think that that's really important. So the conversation was good and open that I was able to learn about him, but you realistically for him, he learns what is most valuable and important to him. I learn what is most valuable and important to him as well.
Right. So what his wishes are, I mean, if you hadn't talked to him, nobody would have known because he's not going to write it down on a piece of paper and give it to you.
Exactly. And you can assume, right? But death is a very, very complicated and nuanced thing. And depending on your circumstances, certain assumptions might not create the best way. I think an interesting one is, this was a conversation my sister asked my dad and my mom when she was around 12 or 13. And she said, Papa, aapke body ko kya karna hai, aap mar jaoge. And Papa said, aise cheeze kyun poochte ho? Aise cheeze mein nahi baat karo. And Mom looks at him and he goes, you know, if anything, if you're going to have this conversation with someone,
yeah,
it would be the child or the children who will be taking on those actions. Right. And beyond that, I would love for my body to be treated in the manner that I hope I set out for it.
Right.
And I think that's really, really important. You know, maybe you don't want to be cremated. Maybe you want to be buried. But if you didn't make that clear and now you're setting up for someone to then just guess,
right,
those assumptions can be very, very wrong, you know.
But I think that point can be elaborated a little bit. Kyunki aajkal, you know, jab kisi ki maut ho jaati hai, and religious rites, vagera, you perform all of them. There are different ways of cremating and also burying.
Yeah.
So now, because of lack of land, I guess in many places, people get cremated and then they are buried.
Yes.
So that the place that is they bought for themselves, a 6-foot block,
yes,
you know, that is going to be for the whole family then, in that case. But to many people, that is an issue which they cannot.
Yeah.
They cannot talk about that because,
for sure.
say for example, cremation, I think, has been adopted by many people because of this particular reason. This reason only.
Yes.
Right? But if you go to people who are of orthodox thought, they would not want that.
No.
Because that's a no-no for them. You put a caller on the line. Line 4, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I thought of the topic was politics, but I didn't realize. I heard a church one day about the politician who don't want to give up even though they're old. But about this topic, my dad, he was an uneducated person, a farmer from India. And we came here in 84. And 96, he had a heart attack. And when after the heart attack, even before he was talking about, you know, how things can happen when he dies. And he was telling me, sitting at a bed in the hospital, that if I die, make sure you take me to Hardwar and you talk to this guy. They'll tell you where our ancestors were and, you know, they'll do all the rituals. So he was a totally uneducated person, but he was openly talking about this. And I learned that from him. And I'm only 53, but I'm talking to my kids. I have two daughters, 12 and 15, and my son is 22. They already gave them a list that, you know, this is what I'm gonna be. I'll be wearing when I die, and this is the song you're gonna play there. This is what you're gonna do. The whole list of my wishes that they already have that. Most of the time we sit down and we laugh about it. They said, "Dad, if I do this, I go, then I'll come and haunt you." So, like, you know, there's nothing to be scared of. It when it's gonna come, it's gonna come. Everybody has to go. Nobody is here forever. So why not discuss with your kids openly and you know, tell them what your wishes are, so they can do it the way you want it. So I'm totally on this thing. 100% agree with the. I forgot his name.
Yeah,
I 100% agree with Om that you need to discuss with your kids and our family openly.
Thank you so much, caller. And you really do make sense, because you've got children and you want the way you want to grow, and you've told them that.
Yeah, I told you guys.
Thank you.
When you grow up, how you're supposed to be dealing with each other and connecting and all that, you know, never know when some other person goes, so don't drift too far away from each other, thinking that, I don't want to talk to this person or that person. And you don't even know when that person is going to go. Then once that person is gone, you're going to realize how important that person in your life was. Then you're going to regret it. So make sure you don't go to that point. Make sure you have a very close sibling relationship with each other. Help each other whenever another person needs it. So I discuss with all the time with my son has gone to Halifax for his career. He got a job there. But I have two daughters. Saturday, Sunday, we go for a long drive, like 9-10 hours a day. And we talk about how the life is going to go and what they're supposed to do, how they are supposed to, connect with other people, and what they're supposed to do when we go, so they already, I'm already getting them that point.
I'm glad that you're doing that, because it is very important that they are not left in the dark. Thank you so very much.
No problem.
Thank you, G. Thank you. We're going to take a very short commercial break. When we come back, I've got to get your mic straightened out, and we'll give our telephone number out again. 604-280-1200. 604-299-8863.
स्पाइस रेडियो, रेडियो रिम झिम सुन रहे हैं आप, गपशप का प्रोग्राम है, और हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में हम ओम अरोड़ा के साथ बात कर रहे हैं, एंड द टॉपिक इज मॉर्टेलिटी. हम इसके बारे में अक्सर बात नहीं करते, एंड द आइडिया इज इन कि आप शुरू कर दें अपने छोटे छोटे बच्चों के साथ बात करना.
Yeah.
कि आप कब मरने जा रहे हो, नथिंग लाइक दैट.
नो,
इट्स योर प्लानिंग
फॉर श्योर. एंड आई नो दैट यू जस्ट ब्रॉट अप चिल्ड्रन. And I think that's interesting too, right? So I thought about it myself. Main apne bachcho ke to I'm going to have a dog.
Yes.
And I think that, obviously I don't wish for or wait for this to happen. But
right.
Obviously at around 12, 13 years old, there's a good chance that that dog will pass away. And I think that is important.
Mm.
For a child, if you have never went through mourning and grief, you don't know how to deal with it.
Mm.
And I personally think that for the most part, and I know I can be wrong in certain situations, the mourning of a pet, it can be easier than the mourning of an individual that you might be close to.
For sure.
And therefore, I think that, at a young age, you might be able to understand the concept. It's by no means would it be easy, but it's something for you to understand how you feel. How do you deal with it? And I think that's very important. The DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistic Manual for your mental illnesses and all that stuff, it didn't include grief, actually, for a very long time. They just classified anyone who was feeling grief as depression. They went to South Asia and they realized that these people were not depressed, but they were feeling something. It was something that they were feeling. They weren't understanding. And that was when they came to realize that there is a difference when in grief and in depression. It's a whole different feeling that you have to understand and come to a whole with, because at the end of the day, it is an existential feeling to feel. So I you know, you brought up children. I think it'd be, you know, relatively good for my children to have a pet when they're younger. You know, they will experience that at a younger age and hopefully be more prepared if they lose people later. Well, when they will lose people later on in their life.
Losing someone, whether they are a family member or a very close friend or your pet, is a traumatic time in everybody's life, whether they are young or they are older. When you're older, the disadvantage of losing someone is that you've been with that person for a very long time.
Yes.
And there are so many memories and history. With a younger person, it's lesser because they've been with that, you know, pet,
yes,
if I may use, or older person for not that long a period of time. So when you lose someone when you're older, I have a feeling that, yes, we do have the capability of understanding that there is death when you're living. Death is inevitable.
Yes.
And you do understand that. But the grieving part doesn't lessen it.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
But I do think that you could still be with certain experiences, depending on how you dealt with it.
Yeah.
You could deal with yourself better in those moments, help yourself get what you need to make sure that that grief is able to be dealt with, and you can move forward from whoever it is that you lost.
So in your mind, talking about mortality, talking about your life on this planet, and then once you are gone away from here, talking to your loved ones about it is a must.
Yes, and not just others, yourself. So this, one of the ways I was able to actually do a lot of thinking about my death in university, I'm a philosophy minor, I studied, and one of the classes I took was death and dying. And till this day, all of classes I've taken, it had the most interesting and most difficult assignments that I had to do. One of the first assignments that I had in that class, we had to write first the 24 hours before your death, if you knew you were going to die, what you would do. And then the hardest part of the assignment was writing your own eulogy. And that was very, very difficult, because then you start to think about yourself, who you are, your legacy, your impact.
What have you done?
What do you want? You know, how do you even start it? I didn't even understand. How do I write? So Omarora was a nice guy. He was funny. You delete it. He was cool. He was sometimes nice. Like, you don't even understand. You really start to think existentially about your person. How will you be remembered? What are you leaving behind? What is the impacts and the legacy that you have created? And that was, to this day, one of the most difficult assignments. I think that if I were to rewrite my eulogy today, it would be very different than the one I wrote four years ago.
Exactly.
However, it gives me a very interesting perspective on who I was and how I viewed myself.
Insight into your own
exactly.
psyche.
So, I mean, if anyone is bored, give yourself a challenge. Take 30 minutes. Write yourself a eulogy. What could you come up with? How do you view yourself? How do you think other people will view you? What do you want to be talked about after you pass?
If I looked at it, I would say we are so hung up on ourselves. What the hell, you know? Here you come, you live here, and then you die. That's it. 100 years from today, is anybody going to remember?
Yes. No, not remember, but they will feel. Because I'm an energy person. So I'm under the belief that the energy that you involve yourself with, it stays on the earth. It will find its way on the earth somewhere else.
Yeah.
So whether that's through a form of memory, I think that, you know, you conduct good energy, you do something good, that good energy is somewhere in the world, it's find itself somewhere.
So are you going to be, so you think that your energy could come and touch other people on the, not physical, but on a...
Most definitely, yeah.
On a level that is in energy form somewhere?
Most definitely. I personally feel in my own personal meditations that I have been able to feel other energies that were new to me that could have been around. I don't know necessarily if they were, you know, spirits or anything. I don't look at it in that way, but I do believe in energy being present. We just can't see it. And people are like, oh, no, I don't believe in that. I'm like, dude, you're using Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You're using Bluetooth. Where is your Bluetooth? I'm grabbing the Wi-Fi. Why is the idea of energy existing so difficult to you?
It is not.
Or when people, I say, like, if you're angry and in that moment you needed to punch the pillow beside you and you didn't do it, if you were to do it, that's force being emitted. That force will stay in you. That's energy. That energy will go somewhere. So I am under the belief that you could be felt through energies throughout time. Maybe not through memories, though.
Not through memories.
Not necessarily.
But,
maybe not. Maybe after 200 years, 300 years, only if you're the victor in the past 200 years of war, unfortunately, you will be remembered in a remembering way.
No, that particular statement, I just brought that in basically because I feel that we are all very hung up on ourselves.
Yes.
You know, and that me is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, I think this topic is very important for people who are probably torn between whether they are, you know, what do they think about themselves? Mm-hmm. You know, writing about yourself.
Yes.
You know, maybe what, 80 words? In 80 words, explain who you are.
Yeah.
Is just so profound.
Very, very difficult. Like even for yourself, would you want yourself to be introduced as a radio host or what would amazing woman? Like it's just so very difficult. How are you wanting to be viewed?
I think what we should do, or the word shouldn't be used. I think what I would like to see is, whichever way you see me, there was an article written sometime back about me, and it was such an eye-opener. The opening line of that was that when Sushma dies, there will be many people at her funeral. Many of them will come and kick the coffin to see she's still alive. And I thought to myself, this is an article being written about me. I think this is a very good, not a very good opening sentence.
Yeah.
And it was written by a person who really did believe that he was writing about me, but he didn't like me.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so his perspective on me is totally different.
Most definitely.
From the perspective of my very close friends,
mm-hmm.
my family, or people that come up and say, you helped me. I like you.
Yeah,
I like the program you do. Do you understand? So how would I like to be remembered? Whichever way you want me to remember.
Yeah. And that's how it will be realistically, right?
Like exactly.
In a realistic way, that's how it will be.
I cannot dictate how someone should remember me.
I think so. I agree with you. But I think that the conversation for the self could be important because maybe you desire to be viewed a certain way and then you can change your actions in the present to then be viewed in a certain way. So that I think it helps you prioritize value.
Maybe you've been
someone who's made a lot of mistakes or kind of just not been a nice person overall, and you're like, I'm gonna pass and everyone's just gonna talk really bad about me. And I mean, if that's what drives you to then be a good person, I'll take another good person in the world, you know.
I believe that a person who's not good does not believe that that person isn't good. They believe whatever they're doing is the...
For sure.
This is my life. I'm going to be leading this
life. It's a form of cognitive dissonance,
There you go.
For sure.
So, yeah, no, I don't think that is going to cut it out.
Do you know if you want to be cremated or any of
that? Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay.
And I really do not want a big, hula-bula done about that.
Okay.
Just like my mother, who was very cognizant of the fact that trees should not be cut and coffins should not be made. And she said, a cardboard box, put me in a cardboard box and burn me. And you don't have to take my ashes anywhere.
Yeah.
All the waters of the world is the same water.
Yes.
So the river that is here is going to one day go and mix with the ocean, which is going to be the ocean that we all want. Everybody, all people from all the Hindus from India would like to be cremated and put in Ganga.
For sure.
You know, all that water is the same, so put it anywhere.
Yeah. No, and I feel that. Nice. Yeah. And you got to do, her wishes were fulfilled.
Oh, yes. And she had everything written out.
Yeah.
To the point where she kept all her paperwork together.
Nice.
Like your driver's license, your care card, and everything in an envelope properly written, you will need this when I die.
And that's really, really important. Reason it is when you lose someone, you wish that they did that because you want to focus on your grieving and your mourning. And if they made it easier for you to do that, good on them. I would like to make it easier for those around me to grieve and get over me. And if I can make it easier with creating a living will so you don't have to fight over my estate, because that's very, very common. Or, I can tell you how I want my body to be taken care of so that you guys don't have to fight over it. focus on taking care of yourself. That's something that's really good. And on that, I would just say I want my body to be used for science purposes, but the narcissism in me would love for my ashes after I'm cremated to be put inside of a little what are those that tell the time, the hourglasses?
Oh yes.
With maybe 2-3 minutes, and then yes. every year on the day I died, meditate for however long with my ashes in the hourglass. That's what I want.
A lot of work, man.
I'm demanding.
Very demanding. I do remember my mother usually used to say, when I die, I want you to remember that when you are grieving for someone, you lose the sense of time and you don't even think of eating. That's not right. So I want you not to tell anybody just as yet until you guys have grieved.
Yeah.
And made food for yourself for the next couple of days, because people will be coming to grieve.
Yes.
And you sit down and grieve with them, but look after yourself.
Most definitely.
Isn't that just an amazing thing to say?
Very, very amazing.
We used to just sit down and listen to her and think, wow, you know.
Yeah.
We'll take a very short commercial break. You wanted to ask people to do something, didn't you?
I'm going
to
ask when we get back.
Okay, so 2-minute break, and then we'll be back with Om right after this. Spice Radio, Radio Room, Jim Sindri, Amkap Shapka program, a heavy duty talk here. God, it's so exciting.
Yes.
Om has come up with a fantastic topic which we've been discussing, and if you'd like to take part in it, we still have about 7-8 minutes left. 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863.
Yeah, so this is a case study. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. This is a true story. So imagine there was this woman. She was an advocate for having assisted suicide if someone is in immense suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a very, very, very big advocate for this.
Mm-hmm.
She then got dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for her, she did not put in writing that she would want to receive that assisted suicide.
Okay.
After she got the dementia, you are not able to make those decisions anymore. So you have to live out your life with that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she was a very big advocate for it, she did not end up making this. So she had to live with her dementia.
Oh, wow.
She had a daughter who was a general practitioner who actually had administered these types of medicines before. Mm. She knew how to do it, and she had access to it.
Mm.
So pretty much my question here is it unethical for her, or should the daughter help her mother, who she knew was a very much so big proponent to receive this, and said to her, I want to receive this, but did not put it in writing, to then help her?
Mm.
Obviously, the daughter could receive both losing her medical license, going to jail, because it could be a form of homicide.
Yeah.
And all those things are to be taken into any thoughts or answers that you have. I would love to hear what your guys' thoughts are. This is another case study that was from a class I took when I was in university. And it was very interesting. We had to look at all the moral dilemmas, the ethical dilemmas, the legal dilemmas, do a perspective switch on who's, you know, if you're in the shoes of the daughter, what would you do? How would you feel? If you're in the shoes of the mother, how would you feel? What would you do? And you know, it sparked a conversation that I had with my mother. I said, hey, mom, if you're in a position where you really, really are in immense suffering and you can't take care of yourself, you're on a unfortunate path to continuous suffering till you pass, what would you want to happen? And you know, she explained to me that she would want someone to then take her out of her suffering. And I think that's a very difficult thing, right? Because me as a child, I don't want to listen to or think about, you know, her leaving, as much as these important conversations of mortality are. But it's still very, very important, because yes, for me, it'd be lovely to have someone around. They're going through that immense suffering. So those conversations are very, very important. I also think it re-emphasizes the importance to maybe create that living will, so that, or if in those cases, if you have dementia or you have Alzheimer's, you may not be able to then write that in writing. So maybe create it before if that's something you want.
Yeah, I think living will is very important. And this, I think, happened in our family. A very close relative of ours had a brain hemorrhage or stroke and was in coma for 5 years. And my mother just couldn't see that. And she would hope that the family would let him go.
Yeah.
Because he was, I mean, from a huge, big, very important person, he shriveled down to a nobody. And after she had visited the family, she'd come home, and we went directly to made an appointment with the lawyer, and she had a living will for herself as well. And so it is very important to have a living will.
It very much so is. Unfortunately, and in our cultures, you'll see those, the fallout if that doesn't occur, right? We have the generational household fight is so common within our cultures. You'll see them, the house is mine, I did more for it, whatever.
Or I don't want to pull the plug on mom and dad.
Exactly, yeah.
And one sibling saying, I want to do it because they are suffering. The other sibling saying, I don't want to do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't have their permission. So they're going to live. So I think, to take that out of their hand and do it. So the answer to your question, I would say, yes, the daughter has every right to do that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that when I wrote it, and I wrote the perspective of my, if it was my mother, I think that because of me having this conversation with my, I would be willing to lose my medical license, anything to end the suffering. Especially because if you see someone, let's say not even with dementia or Alzheimer's, let's say just an autoimmune with no cure, you feel helpless.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Constant suffering, you want to be able to do something for them. And there's only so much you can do because their body just does not treat them well, and you can't fix that.
Hmm.
And in the same way, when you get to these more extensive cases, that helplessness starts to eat you up inside, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you as a human being should think about it yourself to make it easier for those around you, whether that's living well, letting them know what you want, so that when these decisions can happen, they can fulfill your wishes.
Well, we do still have a couple of minutes if people want to weigh in on this particular topic. Please do give us a call. Otherwise, a topic like this is very emotional because there are some people who have just recently, lost their loved ones, and it's a very traumatic period in a person's life, a very difficult time. We just lost a very good friend of ours.
Yeah.
And I usually don't like going to funerals because it brings back so many memories of your own past. And there is a belief there that when you are going through these memories, you are literally reliving them.
Yeah.
And you are there. And all the emotions. So when you go to someone's funeral and you're crying, you're not crying necessarily for them.
Mm-hmm.
You're remembering something that you have gone through.
Yeah.
And that attaches with that.
For sure.
A loss, right? And that's when you cry.
Yeah. I think people fail to realize that sometimes that their memories are memories mostly because of they're remembering how they felt in a certain situation.
Oh, exactly.
So it is those feelings then, like you said, reliving, pouring out of you, whatever they may mean. So it's definitely something that's a very emotional and important thing. I think it's lovely that what sparked this actually was, Shushma, you gave me a message and you were like, hey, I was reading this article about immortality. And
that's
we made this whole entire episode about mortality. But I thought it was very interesting because, of course, that's part of it, right? Like immortality, and if we were immortal, then maybe a lot of the things that we maybe said just now wouldn't necessarily...
It doesn't make any sense then.
For sure. I mean, that caller who called in said, my father, he was uneducated, but he still said this, right? So that was exactly the point. There's, regardless of education, our death is innate within us.
Oh, yes.
Even if you didn't know how to speak the same language, the person is going to pass that you're going to pass.
That's right.
That you already know that your death is already factoring and influencing your existence in that regard.
For sure. 100%. But we should talk about immortality.
Yeah. Would you want to be immortal?
No.
Me neither. Never, never, never.
Never, never, never. They're so boring, man.
No. I just think that there's also more planes than just the physical one.
Yes.
So I think the physical plane is not necessarily the one that I want to be in forever.
No.
Also, I think that you would never be satisfied.
No.
What are you living for?
So there is no, so there'll be, will the want just keep growing and growing?
I think so. I have a friend and he is obsessed with immortality.
Really?
And we've had hours and hours of discussion, and he's just like, I would do anything it takes to live forever.
Oh my God.
And I've come to the belief that he's just power hungry. Because if you're going to live forever, you're just like, you're going to always want more, more, more almost, I feel like, in certain ways. And realistically, all the things that you would then value so normally because you have a limited amount of time, you're just like, oh, I'll do it later. I have forever.
Well said. Beautiful topic. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I got to talk about it a lot. Next time when you come, what are you planning?
I have not figured out just yet, but if anyone has any cool topics that they even feel like would be fitting to this show, you know, you should definitely send a email or a message to Shishma, or you can somehow find me and reach me, and we can always maybe have that as a topic.
We certainly can. Thank you very much for today's topic, Om.
Thank you for having me.
With that, we come to the end of our show. Om, do you want to give your telephone number out? Or,
sure. You guys can give me a message, give me a call, whatever you like. My number is 604-721-9333.
With that, we come to the end of our show. Woh sabhi baatein jo aaj aapki nazaron mein atki, khatki, aur dil mein samayi un sab ko leke, we'll be here tomorrow. Stay tuned for the Drive Home Grind with DJ Flight and Maya right here on Spice Radio. Aur aapki requests Nutan ke saath Radio Rim Jim pe.